Yesterday evening at the Mass of the Lord's Last Supper, we celebrated and I talked about the great mystery of Jesus' desire for our friendship and his desire for intimacy with us. It's really at the heart, in the center of the heart, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is his desire for us. His desire for us is what motivated him throughout the Passion. He is motivated by two things. He loved the Father, and the Father had sent him. And the Father was always with him. Even when everyone abandoned him, he was with the Father. And it was for us. He was thinking about us. All of us. Some of the mystics of the church's history who have gotten insights into Christ's own passion in a deep way. Maybe Jesus has given them these insights in a kind of a privileged way. God does speak to people, sometimes literally. They talk about, you hear this theme, that when Jesus was in the garden and he was sweating blood, he took on himself all the sins of the entire history of humanity. Those from Adam and Eve onward through all generations into the future. And he saw them all at the same time, and it crushed him. He was crushed by the power of the sins, and that even that itself was more difficult itself than the physical pains that he endured. He had to suffer both in his soul with the gravity and the crushing power that sin has of evil, and he had to suffer in his body because he had to redeem us both body and soul. And the betrayal of his friends who he loved, who he had chosen, who John told us in the gospel last night, who he loved to the end, is also a great tragedy of the Passion of Jesus, and one of his great sorrows amid all the other sorrows and the pains and the heaviness. And so, I think for us today, our response, first off, it's a great response right now just to be here. It's kind of like, how do you do something for someone that you're so indebted to? Jesus poured everything out, even to the point of giving his mother over to the church, as he does that through John the Apostle. And we get this incredible image that is a historical fact where he was pierced in his side, which went up into his heart. And so at the very center, we say symbolically, but also of the body in a physical way, is the heart. That's why when your heart stops, you stop. That's the end of it. That's where all the blood flows through that goes through the rest of your body. It's kind of this center. But we use it in an image way to talk about the center of our interests or what is most important to us. And so as Jesus' heart was pierced, he gave every last thing that he could give to pour out for us. And so, you know, we can't really give back in any kind of equal way for what Jesus has done, let alone the fact that he created us and then he redeemed us. But for us to be here right now with him is very powerful. And it is meaningful to Jesus. And so what we're doing here now is in some mysterious way giving him consolation in this historical moment. And even the alive Jesus, who is alive right now, who's not just a historical figure, we console him now. You know, it's one thing to go through the worst sufferings of our lives, whether that be the loss of a loved one or some physical ailment or seeing someone that we love suffer or whatever the thing is. If you just put your minds, most of us who have reached a certain age have experienced these things. What's it like doing that and going through that alone versus someone who's there with you? It's completely different. It doesn't take away from the sin, from the suffering, as far as you're still going through it, but just having someone be there with us during the suffering, they can't fix it, they can't help it. It's like the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary Magdalene, and John the Apostle. They stand at the foot of the cross as it's all going down. They stand there and they can't do anything about it, but it gives Jesus a deep consolation. And we think about the Blessed Virgin Mary and this famous image of the Pietà, which Michelangelo did, and it's been done before that and him and after him. It's one of the most striking and magnificent images. I think it's the greatest piece of art that exists. And you see it when you walk in, just right to the right at St. Peter's in Rome. And it's just jaw drops. So Mary is completely sad and at peace at the same time, because she knows that this is God's will. But the sorrow Michelangelo captures just completely penetrates her body. There's nothing she can do about this tragedy. She can't help her son. She holds him. And of course, it's reminiscent of when she would hold him as an infant. And as she held baby Jesus as an infant, when he was crying, sometimes we can't, as parents, as moms, can't do anything. Can't do anything except for just hold our child. They're inconsolable at times. Just hold our child next to our heart and be there for that child, for that loved one. Mary does this at the very end with the dead, unanimated body of her son Jesus. And so as we're here right now, this is a very good response. We're here with Jesus. We're at the cross, and this is our gift of gratitude, our gift back to him is just being here with him. Lord, we ask you to be a consolation to you. Jesus, we thank you for your passion. We stand in awe of the great outpouring of your love, of your sacred heart, of your life force that was poured out and spilled out for us and upon us, for being like the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies so that it may bear great fruit. Your crucifixion, your suffering and passion and death have been the seed life, which has given us life, Lord, in so many ways and constantly does. It is the ground of anything meaningful that takes place in our lives, of all the grace, of any of the joy. Please continue, Lord, to cultivate a disposition of gratitude for you and what you did for us, and what you still do for us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us take a few moments in silent prayer to listen to and speak with the Lord.